Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Oh, who pulled that lyric? That 7 a.m. in Germany. Nice pull. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. The NFL season kicks off tonight. Cowboys, Bucks. Cowboys are 8.5 points underdogs. That would be point. That's singular. I don't have to pluralize points there in case anyone noticed.
We're going to let it roll.
Point, underdog. What should we expect tonight, guys? What should we expect? Keyshawn?
Well, first, Max, go ahead. I want to find out, before we dive into some sports, I want to find out, are you ready to quit yet? This is your third day in a row waking up early. Are those eyeballs hurting?
Actually, Key gave me very good advice. He said, and by the way, texted it last night because I was still on a text chain with you guys. He's like, go to sleep. He's like,
what time was that?
The key to this is like 8 o'clock. The key to it all, so to speak, is not like when it's time to get in bed, don't play on your phone. Don't do anything. If you can get in bed before, let's say, 9 o'clock on the East Coast and go to sleep, you're going to be all right. But it's those hours. I think this happens to a lot of people, but they flip channels. They don't know what they're like. Just go to sleep. You don't need to waste that hour in bed trying to like wind down. Go to sleep.
I can't do it. Like, if there's a game on, I'm going to watch the game. Like, until my eyes start to get really, really heavy, I have no other choice. I'm just built that way. I don't know why.
But remember, the trick to those sort of things is you got to rest up during the day so that you get the necessary hours to be able to watch the games.
Yeah.
And then you can catch up the other three, four,
Here's
five
the problem,
hours
Key.
After the game.
You got five Here's other jobs during the
Here's,
day.
Yeah, right. Here's the problem for me. So in order to have energy at all, I'm so addicted to caffeine, I must have coffee, espresso coffee in the morning, and I take one through the show, you know. I'm so caffeinated by 10 a.m., and I got to be on the air again coming up next week at 2 p.m. I don't know if you guys heard about it, the launching of This Just In, starring me at 2 p.m. on ESPN.
Starring
so,
me.
So I'm so caffeinated, and then we got to start prepping for that at like noon. It's not like I'm going to be able to go to sleep between 10 and noon. I'm not going to get any sleep.
Yeah.
I got to go work out.
No, you just go and lay down, close your eyes for an hour, hour and a half, wake up, do what you need, do your show, start starring you, and after you do your show, go home, lay down, take another nap for a power nap for an hour or so, get up, deal with the kids.
I wish I could do that, Key. I wish I could do the power naps. But see, when you're all hyped up on Red Bull, you're hopped up on sugar-free Red Bull, can you go right to sleep?
No, I can't because I'm tired. I use all this energy dealing with you and Jay, so yes, I can go to sleep.
I understand. Yeah, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. I could sleep at night, no problem. But like doing that whole nap thing, like a real quick nap, I wish I had that ability.
A good 30-minute nap for me, I'm rejuvenated.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. 20
minutes. I'm rejuvenated. I got slobber on my neck, on my face. Yeah. I'm ready. Deep sleep.
I had one yesterday because, you know, I did the whole deal from – I did the 3 a.m. on West Coast all the way to 2 p.m. because I was on every show that ESPN created. And when I got home and laid it down, oh, man, you should have seen the drips.
Deep slobber. You had that snort. I went, you wake yourself up for no reason.
You know what really bothered me about that last night, by the way?
Snoring. It sounded like a lawnmower. I actually thought they were out cutting the grass.
Yeah, you hear that. You hear someone say, what is that? And it's, oh, that's me. But you know what really bothered me yesterday about Key? It really bothered me. It was like 7-something. We're all on this text chain, you know, we're shooting around stuff for today's show, whatever, just messing around. And Key's like, I think I'm heading to the beach. I'm like, what is this dude talking
4
about?
4 p.m., West Coast,
and I realized,
chilling.
Oh, wait, time out. He got up from a nap. Man. It's 4 o'clock on the West Coast. The dude is really heading to the beach.
You know what I miss, too, about living in L.A.?
Huh.
Real talk, like, on Sundays, the games are always over early.
Oh, beach.
It was the best thing in the
over
world.
Early. They're on early, 10 a.m., and when they're playing in England, 7 a.m., you got NFL football. It's a good life.
All right.
By the way, don't forget, Eli Manning joins us at 9:40 a.m. Eastern.
Super Bowl champion.
Key, Jay, what are your expectations for tonight's game?
Well, my expectations is, first of all, to see a good football game, right? I want to see something good. But I also know that Dallas is up against it. I know they're shorthanded on the offensive line with no Zach Martin, but they still have a fighting chance if they go out there and execute the way that they're supposed to. The only problem is that team on the other side defensively has a lot of people that's coming to get you and they have bad intentions on that side of the ball. Putting the pressure – we had Derek Brooks on earlier, and I talked about it prior to him. Shutting down the run and forcing Dak Prescott to show you that he can do it, that he's capable of doing it. He's the big money guy now. All the pressure's on him. And now when you start to bring extra guys out of the secondary, the Antoine Winfields of the world, the Devin Whites of the world, when you start doing things like that to disrupt the timing of the throws, now this game's going to turn into something different. So I expect to see the Dallas Cowboys kind of hurry things up to negate the pass rush of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's good stuff, Key. What's up, Jay?
I am excited. I like a lot of people that today is the start of the 2021 NFL season. I really am. But I think tonight's game will ultimately be anticlimactic. I do. Dak Prescott is special. He deserved the bag this offseason. Zeke Elliott is special. Them not having Zach Martin, I think, hurts. Obviously, there are questions around their defense. We've been talking about that to exhaustion. But Derrick Brooks even came out here and said, the only position that the Cowboys are better than the Bucs at are a running back. Running back. And if the Bucs line, defensive line, can swallow up Ezekiel Elliott, I think we got a chance to see Dak try to air the ball out. But I think inevitably the talent for the Bucs and the discipline and the continuity, second year together, everybody back, I think that's going to beat down on the Cowboys.
I think there's no lose for me as a football fan tonight, because if the Cowboys lose, I'm just laughing.
Because you're a Giants fan. You don't like the Cowboys.
Yeah, and Cowboys fans like.
See, I'm not pulling against the Cowboys. I want to see the Cowboys do well.
When I was a kid, if your home team was no good, you had two possible out-of-market teams you're going to root for. Apologies to the Raiders and the Dolphins, because they did have a national following. But the real big two were, if you didn't have a soul, you rooted for the Cowboys. And if you were a real football fan, you rooted for the Steelers, right? So I hated the Cowboys ever since I was a little kid, even when I was a Steelers fan as a little kid when the Giants were no good, right? I mean, Joe Green, he's on the Great Space Coasters, whatever, you know, like, you know, I knew about the Steelers and all that. So I root against the Cowboys. I'll find it hilarious if they get whooped up on week one. And if the Bucs lose, that's just interesting, right? Everyone, can they go undefeated? All this. But Key, you said something before we got on the air I want to get to right now. Because I said, you know, the thing about the Dallas running game is Zach Martin's not playing right guard. Lyle Collins, their right tackle, has had these stingers in his neck. And I'm like, you got a running back. Like, usually the offensive line, to football fans, right, it seems like on the left side you want the pass protection, the blind side of the quarterback, and the right tackle and the right guard and everything you're more concerned with how they're blocking for the run. And I always presume that's because you have a lot of right-handed running backs, right? And so they're going to carry the ball right-hand dominant. And Key just started laughing. Why were you laughing? Because it seemed like Jay thought the same thing. Evan thought the same thing, and Key's just laughing at us. Why are you laughing?
Because it doesn't matter what side the offensive line, your strength of ball carrier, right arm, left arm. It's the design of the play. Your left tackle is there to protect the blind side, but he also is a road killer as well in the run game. You don't think Andrew Whitworth of the Los Angeles Rams is a run blocker first and then a pass protector? Absolutely is, because he's massive. Jonathan Ogden, Hall of Famer, pass blocker on the left side, but the Baltimore Ravens, who you think they ran behind? They ran behind Jonathan Ogden. So it doesn't really matter in terms of where you carry the ball. If you are a dominant player or a dominant person with your right arm and right hand and right arm, the ball is in there, all you do is switch the ball to your left, and then you go to your left side. That's why guys are taught to carry the ball to the sideline. If you are on the left side, and you're on the left sideline, put the ball in your left arm, because if it gets punched out, it goes out of bounds. Same thing on the right side. Put it in your right arm, goes out of bounds. It all depends on the design of the play. If your defensive front on your left side is weaker, then we're going to go to the left side of the defensive end. That is not a great run stuffer. He is a pass rusher. So then we set the edge. And from a blocking standpoint in the passing game, if our left tackle is weak and your strength on your side, your defensive end on the left side is strong, we may slide to protection that way. Mm-hmm. To get him some extra help with a tight end or a fullback chipping. I mean, it doesn't – I just started laughing because that what you said was like, where did you get that from? It doesn't –
But just so you know, Key, that's conventional fan wisdom.
I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. That's just the thought process. Zach Martin is gone, so therefore they can't run the ball to the right side because that's where they want to run, and that's the strength of it, with Lyle Collins kind of being banged up too. They're still going to run to the right. I don't know the strength of Tampa Bay's defensive line. Run game, is it left, is it right, is it up the middle? they would have to determine that based on breaking down the film and making a decision on their run plays what best fits them against Tampa Bay's run defense. So sometimes people say, okay, this is what we're just going to pitch the ball outside to tire them out because they can't beat us to the edge. They do that all the time. Or they may say, we're just going to run right up the middle. All we have to do is make sure that we remove the nose tackle. And if we can remove the nose tackle and get up on the second level on the middle linebacker, we can gash them all day long and get into the second wave of defender. Now you never see teams. Then you wouldn't see the team run on the perimeter. It just all depends on your game plan and what works on the defensive side of the ball for you.
You see, that's why I wish we could bring a defensive coordinator on here, like a guy like Todd Bowles, to talk about how they are going to schematically kind of
prepare.
Well,
I don't think Todd Bowles is available.
Obviously.
Well, there are obviously other D coordinators.
There are other DCs out there. But what I'm saying is I do wonder analytically, like what percent of the time that Ezekiel ran off of Zach Martin as opposed to other people.
I think it has to be
extremely high.
I think of any time you see a run play designed, if you're teaching or showing someone a run play, it's almost even in like a zone blocking scheme where you cut back, you're running right, and a lot usually the way they draw it up, right? At least the way fans see it, and then they're cutting back left, not vice. I'm not saying they never run left, and I get the left.
No, they put
the best
it just
line,
depends, though, Max. Like if you can have cut back lane, right, where all of a sudden they want to stretch it all the way to the right. To mm-hmm. give the illusion that that's where I'm going. Now, all of a sudden, I'm putting my foot in the ground and I'm retracing back to the left. But now on that side, big Tyron has things sealed off. So now when Zeke puts that foot in the ground, that big gaping hole and cavity is right there where you can run a Mack truck through it.
You're going to have to do something like that. Banged up on the right. No Zach Martin. Collins banged up. And facing that Tampa front seven with the kickoff of the NFL season. Of course, guys, comes predictions. Let's get to some award predictions. We have a mountain of evidence from the preseason. Key thinks is very important, the preseason. That's where we learn everything, right, Key? This is three preseason games where the ones aren't even playing against the ones all the time. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by Indeed. Odds are you're hiring to free up time, not to lose more. With Indeed, you get the platform that delivers four times more hires than all other sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Post a job and say you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. All right. So first up, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Key, who's going to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year, in your opinion?
You know, for my money, I think I'm going to go with Justin Fields. And the only reason why is because I believe, just whatever, I believe that he doesn't start, right? He comes in week three or so, and then all of a sudden he does what Lamar Jackson was able to do for the Baltimore Ravens a couple years ago, where he all of a sudden just ignites that offense and becomes spectacular, and then you can't do anything but vote him Rookie of the Year.
Man's playing with a chip on his shoulder because they said his processor wasn't fast enough. Meantime, it looks just fine so far. What's up, Jay?
I would probably go with Mac Jones here, just considering out of all rookie – quarterbacks, he's probably coming into the best situation.
Absolutely,
with the
is.
Best coach. If Trey Lance were starting week one, though, I may go with Trey Lance just because of the dual threat in Kyle Shanahan's offense, but I'll go with Mac Jones for the sake of this argument.
I'm going to go with Kyle Pitts. And I know it's a tight end, and you know, usually go to quarterback, running back, they touch the ball more. But in this case, he's going to a team that just lost Julio Jones, that did everything in the draft to build around Matt Ryan still. He's going to see the ball a lot. And he might be the most touted out of college tight end, at least that I can remember. So I like Pitts as the offensive.
That means you're
a
believer of Tua to a degree, right? Because if Kyle Pitts is going to be successful, that means Tua has to be successful.
No. Matt Ryan.
Oh, Matt Ryan.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry.
But
sorry.
Right. Because Pitts would have Tua could have used Pitts.
Yes.
But they got him Waddle now, and Waddle could turn five yards to a touchdown
Good
in a
call.
Heartbeat. All right. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Key. Who you got?
I'm going to take Patrick Surtain. The second or the third? I keep messing it up. But I think it's the second. I'm going to take Patrick Surtain, the second out of Alabama with the Denver Broncos. He's an all-do-it-your-all safety corner slash. He can do so many things in that secondary for the Denver Broncos. This is why the Dallas Cowboys wanted to try and grab him if they could. They took Micah Parsons and said, but you got to think about this defense. Vic Fangio style, what do? They go and shut down the edges with Chubb and Von Miller. Now they let the secondary go to work. If you remember when they were winning those Super Bowls with Tlaib at back there, that's what they do. Harris was back there. They said to themselves, we get the pressure up front with our front seven, and we let the back end go to work for us.
Jay?
Do you know the Dallas Cowboys last year were dreadful, awful, horrible against the run? One of the worst teams in the league against the run, giving up 160 yards per game on the ground. I think Micah Parsons brings a new dimension to this defensive line. I think he adds him a notch due to his speed, his ability to close out defensively. I think Micah Parsons wins Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I'm with you, Jay. I wanted the Giants to grab Parsons, but they had draft deals and stuff, and he went to the Cowboys. And partly because of this, the linebackers looked on paper to be one of the strongest tandems in the league, right? A couple years ago, they have looked terrible the last couple years. Parsons joins that core, and they look better. He's also going to get a lot of credit for that. I like Parsons' Defensive Rookie of the Year. What about Offensive Player of the Year, Key?
Offensive Player of the Year. I would have to say Devontae Adams out of Green Bay. When you look at where they're at in terms of throwing the football, it's a throwing lead. A couple years ago, Michael Thomas out of New Orleans Saints was the Offensive Player of the Year. Devontae Adams, 115 catches last year, almost 1,400 yards in the air, and he put up 18 touchdowns. He won't win MVP because that typically goes to a quarterback. So they will pass this award down to a running back or even a wide receiver, as we saw in the past, but I think it's Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers.
Jay?
I'm going to take a shot here on one, because obviously he's coming back off injury. I'll go with Christian McCaffrey. You know, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving 2019. Key, you know, when he's fully healthy, man, like there's a big part of me that really wants to bet on him and Sam Darnold. I think those are two people that we are overlooking in Carolina due to Joe Brady and how that offense will be ran. I think Christian McCaffrey has a chance to have a huge, huge year offensively.
Offensive Player of the Year is going to be Patrick Mahomes. If the question is football to me, the answer is Patrick Mahomes. Like, it was once upon a time in boxing, right, you know, in the late 90s through the 2000s. Roy Jones. But he's fighting Roy Jones. Kids, if you don't know who Roy Jones is, YouTube him from his prime. That's how I feel like about Mahomes now. You know, like I felt that way about Michael Jordan in basketball once upon a time. Mahomes is differently. The only guy who I've ever seen like him is Aaron Rodgers, and I think Mahomes is even maybe a little bit better. I think especially with the new offensive line, Tyreek Hill, I just think Mahomes can go. You know what? He had that 50-touchdown season, won MVP.
Yeah.
Then he won MVP of the Super Bowl. He could mess around and do both. Like, he could have his best, you know, the guy's something. Defensive Player of the Year, guys.
Miles Garrett, Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
You look back at what Miles did in 2018, he had 13 sacks. So I'm looking for him to have a big year paired with Jadeveon Clowney on the other side. Max, when you talk about a guy who needs to take the next step in their career, it's Miles Garrett. Yes, he is phenomenal on the edge. He's phenomenal as a defensive player. But I want to see him go from the 30 to the 20. I don't want to see him take from the 30 to midfield. I need him to take that giant step in his career so now all of a sudden we can start to talk about him the way we talk about Aaron Donald and Von Miller and T.J. Watt and his brother, whatever his name is, Watt.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. T.J. J.J.
A lot of Watts.
Yes.
And they can all play.
I mean, he was on his way last year, Key, until he caught COVID. So I'm kind of with Keel Miles Garrett, yeah, T.J. Watt. Obviously, Aaron Donald is a beast. I'm going to go with that man for the Washington football team, a team that I hope they change their name to the Washington Red Wolves, to be real with you. I love the Red Wolves logo and the whole thing they stand for. But I'll go with Chase Young, Defensive Rookie of the Year, 6'5", 265 pounds. Watching that
Player of the Year. Defensive Player
of the Year.
Yeah.
Well, last year was Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you're – okay, never mind. Go ahead. Keep going.
Watching him at Ohio State, I knew that he was destined to be different. Last year he proved that. We'd love to see him take five steps further this year for a Washington football team that's going to rely heavily, heavily on their defense to win a division.
I'm going to go with Chase Young also. I got to say this about Chase Young. When I survey the landscape, who is different, I think, like I look at the Bosa brothers, right? How do you get better than that? You could bring up
Nick
Watt.
And Joey,
like,
yeah.
How do you get better than the Bosa brothers? I think Chase Young maybe this year becomes the best defensive player in football. Like, that's how much I think about his upside. And he's on a great defense, and I think he's the best player on it. Comeback Player of the Year, Key.
Comeback, it's got to be Dak Prescott. That gruesome injury, a lot of people, you know, held their breath when he got hurt because not only the financial gain that we thought, a lot of people thought that he would lose, But just the pure injury in his career, we saw what happened to Alex Smith. We saw what happened to Joe Theismann. And we all looked at ourselves and said, oh, my God, did this just happen again? Now, all of a sudden, here he is coming back to play opening night tonight in the NFL against the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How do you not give him comeback player of the year?
I see you, Key. I'm going to go with the most polarizing player in the NFL, whether it's kicking footballs into the kicking net for the Giants. I'm going to go with that guy in OBJ, who I think that we've forgotten how fast and how talented and what this man's catch radius is. I think eventually, I know we talk about Jarvis Landry. I know we talk about all the other options. I know they're a run-heavy offense. But I think Baker Mayfield is going to find chemistry with OBJ. And when they do, that is going to be one of the most electrifying aspects of their offense that we will talk a lot about.
Now, I think these two have to hang out and get to like each other. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you on the chemistry. If those dudes get a connection, the Browns are going to be impossible. It's a good pick. I like Saquon Barkley. Now, the offensive line is terrible. I realize that. But Saquon had over 2,000 yards from scrimmage as a rookie, behind a line almost as bad, with Eli Manning, who was cooked by that point as his quarterback. He also had 15 touchdowns. Saquon is a threat to score every time he touches the ball. Mm. This whole thing is he doesn't run between the tackles. You know, give him some tackles. I still think that'll be the comeback player of the year. MVP, Key. Who's going to be the MVP?
You know, it's easy to take Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, and all of a sudden the flavor of the year is Josh Allen. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm taking Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's my guy. It's his time right now. And I think when you look at Russell Wilson, he's gotten everything he wanted in Seattle. Let's see what he does with it. First half of the season last year, he was an MVP. Let's finish it off, Russell.
Yeah, before he fell off that cliff, Key. I'm going to go with the flavor of the season, like you said. I'm going with Josh Allen. Just because I look at Emmanuel Sanders, Stephen Diggs, Cole Beasley. I mean, that's a trio of receivers. And if they add Devin Singletary with that running game, Josh Allen is going to be special and really surpass what he did last season.
If the question is football, what's my answer, Jay?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
I know.
Leave it at that. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home, car, insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. How good is this Bucs defense? And could it be even better than the last Bucs Super Bowl defense? That's after Jay has this from Goodyear.
Tripping.
It's our favorite time of the year as we're back traveling the road for college football. And Goodyear knows the passion and excitement it takes to drive forward. Whether your team is home or away, the game's traditions are still the same, guys. Through every first down, touchdown, or fourth quarter comeback, by moving, anything is possible. Goodyear is here to drive you forward on the road that moves us all. Goodyear, more driven.
Coming up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, former New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning. Does he see it as a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones? Eli Manning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, this morning at 9:40 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
can't get complacent. You know, we won last year. Today starts a new season.
I can see Tom Brady having another big season, a better season than he did last year.
He's still great. He's one of the best three quarterbacks in the game still, even at his age. And no, I don't see signs of slowing down, actually.
With the skill and Dak Prescott at quarterback, they should win the NFC East this year.
Touchdown, Gallup!
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
World champion Tom Brady, Tampa, great atmosphere.
The NFL season kicks off tonight. Bucks and Cowboys, Raymond James Stadium, as the Bucks title defense begins. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, including
Rondé
Barber. Rondé, you've seen both this Bucks defense and the team that you were on that won the Super Bowl. How do the two defenses compare? We've been talking about it all day.
What up, Rondé?
What up, man? I'm chilling. Great question. And I'd like to say we're better, but I don't know, man. This is a different unit, different scheme completely. I tell you what, it'll be a lot more fun to play in this defense, the one that Todd Bowles has here.
Why?
They get after it. It doesn't, I mean, you could be Keyshawn Johnson sitting on the sideline and Todd Bowles is going to draw a blitz up for you. I mean, that's kind of how he works. But yeah, they're active. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a strong safety, free safety, either corner, you're going to get a chance to rush the quarterback. He just creates ways, you know, to get pressure. And on top of, you know, you marry that with the talent that he has, especially at outside linebacker. I don't know if you guys watched Bucks preseason, but this kid, Joe Tryon Shoyinka, is something else, man. They're going to be tough out this year.
Yeah, linebackers for sure.
I like how nice you are, Rondé, right now. You know damn well that this defense is not as good as the defenses that you played on at the height. How many sacks did you have? How many sacks did you have in your career, Rondé?
28
sacks as a defensive back, and you talk about the speed and the pressure that they come with. If you don't stop, man, I get it. You live down there, so we gotta play the role. With that being said, though, is this team a legit team that can go undefeated this season?
Oh man, you start talking that, you start taking your eyes off the ultimate goal. But look, I look at their schedule. There's a couple teams that jump out at you. Especially week 3 and 4 on the road, back to back at Rams and Patriots. Those aren't going to be easy games, especially traveling coast to coast like that. But if there's a team that can do it, it's these guys. They have it in all the right places. I'm sure it's been beaten to death that they brought 22 starters back, but what's being kind of left behind in that sense is that there's 8 or 9 or 10 backups, important backups, that also came back. This is a team that has depth. But the quality that they need to sustain for 17 games, right, Keyshawn? So it's gonna be a fun run. Can't wait to go tonight.
Rondé, I was talking to Max and I asked him a question while you were answering that, saying, when was the last time that Tom Brady was like really injured? And Max like, I think it's 2008 when Matt Castle really came in. Like, how obviously luck plays into that to a degree. But how would you define what he's been able to do, but how much of a part of it is just having great offensive lines and staying healthy?
Well, that's, I think going into last year, Jay, everybody was considering. They were looking for weaknesses on the team, and offensive line was the one that everybody talked about. You look at their offensive line, they played pretty damn well. Tristan Wirfs, the rookie last year, was one of the better right tackles in the NFL. And you go down the line, and there was only – ever really one question mark, and that was Alex Kappa at right guard. Center Jensen, left guard and left tackle have been solid for a while. So you ask how Tom's able to stay healthy, that helps. But the reality is, man, the dude doesn't take any hits, and he's so smart with the football. He knows when to get rid of it. You'll even see him, dive out of free runners. He'll just go to the ground. He finds ways to protect himself. And he looks young. I was with him a couple of days ago, right after the preseason, and he's just like 44 years old, dude. And he doesn't look it. He doesn't act it. You know, watch him play. He's still got a live arm. You know, he's every part of his game is still sharp. It's as sharp as it was the last time I played him, which was 9 years ago, 10 years ago. It's pretty amazing. He's different. Somehow
dudes
he's
who
different.
Came in the league after Brady, played long careers, and haven't played in a long time, and this dude is still slinging it all over the place. Key, you got something else for Rondé before we got to pay some bills?
Yeah. I was going to ask Rondé, outside of Tom Brady, take him away, who's the most important guy to come back on the team?
I think Lavonte David. He's the oldest, most senior guy on the team. You know, JPP might be a year older or something, but Lavonte coming back, he was for a couple of reasons. One's because of his talent, obviously, but he was a free agent and he came back and took the deal that he probably could have got better elsewhere, right? And he took the deal to stay with the team because of the cachet that he has invested here. I think not only is his talent good next to Devin White, the other inside linebacker, but it sends a message, man. It sends a message that, you know, look, we are trying to run it back. We are trying to – they are going to take care of our guys when they come back. The same situation with Shaq Barrett. You know, he came back. I mean, he probably could have – pushed out a couple more dollars if you would have really chased it in the market. But you get guys like that to commit to your football team, you know, that gives you a chance to win at the end of the day. You know how that is, Key. Teams break up. You know, they turn over every single year.
Except for the Bucks, apparently. The great Rondé Barber, ladies and gentlemen. Rondé, thanks for jumping on with us.
Yeah, Max. Yep.
Always, I'll be good, dude. Always good to talk to you, brother. The best insider in the business, guys, gives us the latest on why the Cowboys will likely be without their best offensive player tonight, playing the defending champs on the road. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on smart speakers everywhere by saying play ESPN Radio.
The beginning of the season, God, man, I want to be in that moment.
This is one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Marty Smith, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Dallas Cowboys are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Syracuse Orange are ready.
This is Alan Hahn. I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and continues all day on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Zach Martin has tested positive, so he's in the COVID protocol.
Should be the five-day window. With Zach Martin, assuming he's vaccinated, he would have had to have tested positive. It's really the only way that he can get on the COVID list.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Goodyear Hotline. Guys, no Zach Martin for the Cowboys. That's what the likely scenario is. What does that mean for Dak? What does that mean for Zeke? Who does it affect more, Keyshawn Johnson?
I think it's going to affect Dak Prescott more so than anything. Ezekiel Elliott is going to get his touches. Whatever the yards amount to, they amount to. But they're going to get away from that, because what's going to happen is the Buccaneers are going to stuff the run, and they're going to force Dak Prescott to show them, without Zach Martin in the lineup, And not that if he was in the lineup, it wouldn't have been tough. But he can throw the football down the field, that he's ready to go, that his ankle's healthy. When they start blitzing people off the edge and running people up through the A-gaps and all these exotic blitzes and bringing everybody and in the kitchen, everybody in the kitchen sink, now Dak Prescott's got to get on the move. He's got to have the stability to sustain, to be able to throw the ball with his eyes downfield. They're going to try and force him to do those sort of things.
You know, I think we asked the wrong question here. And I know that this is between Zeke and Dak, right? Who's going to – the defense obviously is so talented. Who's it going to affect more? But how about the Cowboys' defense? I mean, this is a defense that we've been talking about all offseason, Key and Max, right? About, hey, they one of the worst defenses ever recorded in NFL history. So if they're slightly better under Dan Quinn, then that's an improvement. But this is a hell of an offense to go up against. When you talk about Antonio Brown, like I saw Antonio Brown last year, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, can Antonio Brown really evolve to the number one option for Tom Brady this year? And I know Mike Evans is there. I know Chris Godwin. I know how talented they are. But there's still that explosiveness in them. Like, can their secondary handle that? And how about up front, too? I mean, will they be able to stop the run of guys like Leonard Fournette, who really pounded through last year? Their defense has to show marginal improvement. And their defense is really going to dictate whether the Cowboys are going to be successful or not. I don't really question their offense. I think Dak is going to find his rhythm regardless. He may not do a game one against Tampa, but eventually he's going to find his rhythm. It's the defense going to dictate whether they can be next
Dak had
level.
His rhythm 2 years ago. They went 8-8. And then last year they didn't have him. They went 6-10. So they got 17 games. You want to tell me they're going to go 9-8? Fine. Oh, there he is. Adam Schefter on the Goodyear Hotline. Adam, good morning to you. What's the latest you can tell us on Zach Martin, Adam?
Happy New Year. Well, he was not listed on the Cowboys injury report because they don't have to list players on the COVID list on the injury report, but he did not travel with the team from Dallas to Tampa yesterday. So if he didn't make the trip with the team, again, it's unlikely he's going to play. They didn't officially rule him out. There's always the chance that somehow he passes all the necessary tests that he does today, flies separately from the team privately to get to Tampa in time to play tonight. But even the Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy conceded that they were not counting on having Zach Martin out there tonight for the regular season opener against Tampa.
Shefty, what are people saying about Dak Prescott's return this evening?
Well, I think they're excited to see where he's at, right? Like, we've seen him on Hard Knocks. He's looked good. He says he's felt good. He's coming off, I think people forget, a major ankle injury from last year. He had the shoulder setback during training camp. Again, he's going to be out there. He's not going to miss any time, and he's going to be Dak Prescott. He's going to be a great player. You just wonder, is he going to be at 97%, 99%? How close to 100% is Dak Prescott going to be? But there's no question about whether or not he's playing. He was a full participant in practice all week long, not really listed on the injury report with any injury designation whatsoever. He's going to be out there. Dak Prescott is all ready to go.
Adam, outside of Zach Martin possibly playing, not playing, whatever the case may be, what's the biggest storyline for you in tonight's game?
Well, listen, Tom Brady starts his 300th regular season game. No player ever has started 300 regular season games. He's 44 years old. Most players that age, they're doing what you're doing, Key, or they're doing something else, okay? Tom Brady is still going strong, five-time Super Bowl MVP. The only one who's won more championship MVPs is Michael Jordan at 6. So Tom Brady's taking aim at that. He's already won more championships, world championships than Michael Jordan. He's on 7, trying to go for 8. And this Tampa team, there's no reason why it shouldn't be even better this year. You don't see too many Super Bowl champions that don't lose a player in free agency. All of their starters are back. Their coaching staff is back. None of the coordinators got head coaching jobs. None of the starters left for bigger contracts in free agency. They got better in the draft with Joe Tryon in the first round, who's going to provide some major pass rush tonight. So this team on paper has all the elements going in to be a very strong team, once again led by the quarterback who just keeps going on and on and on and on.
Can you believe some people thought Brady was going to, like, fall off a cliff? Hey, Adam, let me ask you this here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We were talking earlier in the show about Tua Tagovailoa. He's one of only two quarterbacks not team captain, not named captain. Why was that? Do you know why he wasn't named captain?
No, I didn't even know he was not named. I think that's a little unusual. But again, here's a guy that's still looking to establish himself with the team. Now, I know you could say, well, the Jaguars selected Trevor Lawrence as a captain and the Jets selected Zach Wilson as a captain. But it just made me mean that there are more leaders in Miami, and for whatever reason, they didn't pick Tua. Not exactly an outspoken guy, still looking to assert himself there with the Dolphins. The reports are that he looked very strong during camp, very accurate. So, again, I would think if Tua has the kind of year that Miami hopes and thinks he can and will, that he very well may have the hopes to be a captain in 2022 for whatever that's worth, Max.
Shefty, please connect the dots with me for 1 second, because when I think about Tua, I automatically now kind of think about Deshaun Watson and the flirtation out there about him potentially being a Miami Dolphin quarterback. But yesterday I saw you tweet that Nick Caserio, when talking on Sports Radio 610 about Deshaun Watson's status for Sunday, he said, "I wouldn't expect him to play. I wouldn't anticipate him playing this Sunday, and we'll recalibrate as we go." How did you interpret "we'll recalibrate as we go"? What does that mean?
Recalibrate is just a fancy way of saying he's not going to play all season long. That's all that he's saying at that point in time. Recalibrate whatever you want, okay? Deshaun Watson's not going to take another snap for the Houston Texans, barring the unforeseen. And they're just holding on to him as a trade chip right now and waiting for some team to step up and basically pay full freight on his value. And, of course, there are the investigations that are ongoing right now with the FBI, the Houston Police Department, the NFL, and we have to see what those turn up. Deshaun Watson has maintained his innocence all along, continues to insist that he will be found innocent in this particular situation. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. We'll see what it turns up. But, again, at that point in time, the Texans will move on, so they can recalibrate all they want. Tyrod Taylor is their starting quarterback, and they'll recalibrate once they trade Deshaun Watson for all the draft pick compensation that they get back for him.
And maybe Tua, who knows, if he goes to Miami. Okay, Key.
Adam, Jimmy G basically said that he's a starter in San Francisco. Now, you know Kyle Shanahan pretty well, so I would lean on you to tell me, Shanahan hasn't announced it at all, said anything. Why do you think that is? But Jimmy G has.
Well, because Kyle's been as transparent and as honest as he can be with the media. As he said yesterday, since July 27th, they've asked him all along, and he keeps saying, Jimmy G's our starter. We expect him to be the guy. You know, we expect him to be the guy moving forward here. And everybody's waiting for Trey Lance to go win the job, but he hasn't done that yet. And Jimmy Garoppolo has played well during camp. And the expectation is Jimmy Garoppolo is starting Sunday against Detroit. Trey Lance has got the chip bone in his finger. He's missed some practice time over the last week. They love what they have in Trey Lance. His turn is going to come. The question is when. But right now, this is Jimmy Garoppolo's offense starting Sunday in Detroit. I think Kyle's been very open and honest. I don't know why nobody's listened or paid attention, but he's kind of said
really
that. Jimmy Garoppolo is our guy.
That's really funny. You're right. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan has been saying the same thing all along, and the way this story's been framed in the media, I mean, we're also reacting to the framing of the story. Jimmy G's saying he's starter. Why hasn't Shanahan said anything? Every day Shanahan said he's a starter. What are we talking about?
Max, everybody's waiting for Trey Lance to win the job that he's not winning right now.
I guess not. Shanahan's are going, has the world lost its mind?
Well, look.
Key, we got 30 seconds.
Max and Adam. Yeah. Bill Belichick said that Cam Newton was a starter, too. So you just never know.
Thanks, Adam.
That's
Keyshawn,
a good point,
Jay Will, and Max. Thanks, Eli Manning, 40 minutes away, ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.